here we are. This is Sex, Love, Psychedelics, and I'm your host, Dr. Kat, bringing you psychosexual conversations that will leave you intellectually turned on and hungry for more.
Hey, lovers, welcome back. So after episode 123, where I shared about my personal experiences working with ketamine, both clinically and my own full body orgasm that I had in the middle of a ketamine training, I've had multiple of you reach out and tell me that this episode was really, really helpful for you, especially because ketamine has such a stigma of being this party drug. And I really want people to see the power of its healing potential and even its ceremonial potential. So today I thought I would continue that conversation and share with you how ketamine can be powerful for couples, for intimacy, for sexuality. And if you missed that episode 123, I highly recommend go check it out. I go into my process of how ketamine therapy was helpful with helping me process through the grief of my father, the death of my father, as well as overcoming the depression that came with COVID. It's really good. I hope you'll like it. To back up the story a bit, I've been working with couples for over a decade now, and it is such a privilege to sit there and see two or more individuals be able to move away from, in a high conflict or to be shut down or avoidant from each other into a space of softening and opening and inviting the perspective of the other person and taking a pause and considering and really showing up as a team. And that takes a process, right? Like so many of us, as individuals, grew up with these different programs or these different perspectives of our own worth or how to be in a relationship. And we've got to do a lot to understand our own selves and how we may be contributing to the dance of conflict that we find ourselves stuck in. Now, I think that from my perspective, couples therapy can use a revamp. Like, again, I've been doing this for so many years and it's a beautiful process, but there's also something really powerful about the unique properties of ketamine that acts as a lubricant to support the softening of the communication, to open our hearts, to be vulnerable, to receive the other person's perspective and not seeing that as a threat, but as something that we can welcome in as a part of our negotiation process. Ketamine relaxes the body. It alleviates the pain that we might feel, the heaviness of depression or anxiety, and make it easier for us to have clarity of thought. Now, this is the crux of so many of the conflicts that we have with couples or with anybody, really, is that we want them to see us. We want them to understand us. As long as we're in this space of they can't see us or understand us, that can feel very threatening to us. And if we are dysregulated, we're no longer able to see the other person for who they are or what they're seeing, and it becomes harder for us to be able to work together. So ketamine, as an empathogen, increases the empathy between us for our own selves and for the other person, so that we can have a sense of belonging here, of awe, of gratitude, and deeper connection. So as this relates to just typical conflict in the relationship, it can soften. But this can also be applied to sex, and how vulnerable sex can be. Expressing our desires, our needs, our fantasies, our fears. Like, these are one of the top most challenging conversations. And if we're afraid of our partner shutting down or pulling away because we want to have kinky sex, then this can help facilitate its own sense of container and spaciousness to have this dialogue. So what it looks like in a session for me to work with a couple with ketamine Ultimately, it depends on the goal of the work. We can have both of the people in conversation with each other, which in that case, we would have a lower dose of ketamine, or we could have both of the individuals in their own separate journeys and, you know, lying back right next to each other. Or we can have both of the individuals in the ketamine experience at lower doses where we're focusing on one person as the, I'm going to say, star of the therapy session, while the other person is holding space and witnessing of the process and the vulnerability and the attachment needs that end up coming out behind the protector parts or the hard outer casing that they may have been walking around with. And then some of the more sensually focused practices can involve somatic practices, breath work, sensation-focused practices, partners being in their body and focused on what feels good in their body. And here's where the role of music that acts as a second therapist in the space guides a journey and sets an ambiance here that holds the partners in this space and in this essentially rhythm. People often ask me, like, what does a typical ketamine session look like? And I'm like, you know, every single journey experience for these clients has looked completely different. There can be these experiences of, insight and revelation and resolution around trauma, as in, you know, seeing archetypical figures or symbols around, you know, a perpetrator or around self or the child self, you know, the child version of ourselves going on a journey and revealing what it is that they need or what was missing during those traumatic experiences. And then, you know, my client being able to show up and take care of that, or to be able to have dialogue with individuals that are deceased or who are the perpetrator that they wouldn't necessarily actually have a conversation with, and be able to find that resolution in their own psyche and in their own body. I bring in instruments. I bring in sound because sound vibration can help to break up stagnant energy, and it can also help a process that might be looping or stuck. So sometimes I'm bringing in chimes or a drum to help move anger or to help facilitate a stuckness. And I'll see bodies move in these ways that may be exactly what the body needed to do during the time of the trauma. And now it has a space that is safe and conducive for it to be able to fulfill that. Now, it really is vast. And I would say that I'm a pretty active therapist in this whole process. My inspiration is from my somatic training, trauma training, internal family systems training. So everything is about the person's ability to heal themselves. Everything that I say, everything that I'm facilitating is just creating the space for the person to come into their own awareness and insight. And to me, that's really important. It's almost like creating this sense of, we're not trying to go with pressuring you or making you go faster than you need to go. I think for many people who've had distressing experiences or traumatic experiences, they feel their sense of agency taken away from them. They also feel a rupture in relationship. And so here I am serving as a holding space for someone with presence and patience and compassion and curiosity to allow that person to unfold as they need to. And I believe that's also really important for couples too. You know, as so many couples or the individuals in couple units didn't have that growing up. They didn't have the patience, the compassion, the curiosity from, you know, primary caregivers to know that that's something that they need, or to know that that's something that their partner needs. And so I think there in the modeling of that can be really powerful. You know, what happens when couples see that they don't have to keep trying to make the other person see them? and they switch the roles, switch the dance steps, and start asking and inquiring this curiosity and this relaxed presence towards their partner. You know, and it may take some time, but that's what we're looking for. We're looking for safety at home in the arms of our partner. And so it can really start here to get the reference point of what that can be like. And that's where I think ketamine is a powerful tool for that. Now, a lot of things can happen in these sessions, like I said. And that's why it's really important for a facilitator to be there and help guide both, not only the prep of this whole process, and we'll get into that in a moment, but also the integration of this. You know, how do we make sense of what just happened? How can we establish rituals to support the continued change in the relationship? How can we extract the gold from the insights here of what just happened in the conversation or in the journey so that we can replicate this again? Bringing the conscious awareness to this two-hour session makes it so that we have something that we can play with. And that's what's so different about doing this at a party or doing this recreationally by yourself, is that we may be missing a lot. And I'm not saying that to put myself on a, you know, on a, I don't know, hierarchy of like on a throne of like, I know how to do this for you. But there is something about somebody as a third party observer being able to track and write notes about what it is that you're saying in session, and to be able to hold in their conscious awareness the intention that you were going for, to help you see the material through the lens of that. And then to inspire the conversation around, okay, let's talk about practices to anchor this in, to bring this from the abstract into the concrete reality, so that you two or whoever is in the relationship don't have to keep falling back into the same dysfunctional dance. Ketamine-assisted therapy, or really psychedelic-assisted therapy or psychedelics or ceremony or whatever, whatever it is that you're experiencing, is more than just the dosing session. There really is an importance that needs to be emphasized on the arc of the whole journey, from the preparation into the dose and into this integration. So as a couple who is about to work with a therapist or a facilitator with ketamine or with a psychedelic, let's talk about how you can prepare yourself. The first thing that I would want you to do is to have a conversation and anchor you two both into the reason for what you will be doing. You know, this is the why. What inspired you to reach out for this type of work? Think about the current challenges or the sticky points that you feel that you want to dissolve, or you need help with understanding more clearly. What do you want to get out of this experience? This is setting you up with an intention before you even start your procedure. And this can be really helpful in guiding your process. Sometimes when we're in an altered state of consciousness, we might notice that our mind attracts a myriad of ideas. And it just wants all these things that you've been putting on the back shelf, and then it's saying, here, let's look at them all right now. And that can be really overwhelming. And this is because the part of the brain that acts as a filter is relaxed, which is allowing for more fluidity of thought, feeling, and memory to occur. So an intention acts as an anchor to come back to and follow. It brings us back to our why, and it also helps us with that integration. If I look at what just happened to me in that experience, how does it make sense as it relates to the intention? Intentions also don't need to be reserved for just this journey, but it can also be used in daily life as a compass to set you in the direction of your goals and your dreams. They help us to create a deeper relationship within our own selves, with life, with our career, with our lover, and everything else that occurs around us, which I believe is such a beautiful texture to add to living. I have an intention every single day to connect with pleasure. And so when I'm making life decisions, pleasure is going to be one of the filters that I make that decision through. So on my desk right now, there are several little things of pleasure. There's a crystal, there's a candle, there's incense, there's little chimes. I also have the intention of playfulness, both in my relationship as well as in life. And I'm always finding new ways to play, whether it's in conversation and joking, or it's adding little alien figurines and hiding them in my partner's everything, in his car, in his suitcase, whatever. So just as much as intentions are about, you know, what is it that you desire or that you seek, it's also about what your concerns are or your boundaries for this experience. Now, this encapsulates the mindset that you're going to be setting into. You want to create a safe container. And this helps to establish what those edges are, as well as where you're driving towards what it is that you're wanting. I think this can really apply to sex as well. You know, how much are we negotiating before we go into sex, or before we go into a scene? Maybe it's a kinky scene, or maybe it's an erotic scene. How much are we discussing what it is that we desire, or boundaries or needs there? So ultimately, it's like intentional life, right? So the second element that I encourage couples to consider is to take time to vet your facilitator, your therapist, your shaman, whatever it is. Don't just go off their photo or a referral. Call them, talk to them, feel their energy towards you and your responses, your questions, your needs. I made a guide for this specifically. It's a free guide. Please get it. There's tons of questions in there that will help you to interview, whether it's somebody in the sex field or somebody in the psychedelic field. I just want you to be safe. Unfortunately, there is abuse of power out there. And there's so much that we're doing on, you know, as regulating boards for therapists, even infrastructure for psychedelic underground work. And I still want to empower you with education too. So definitely get the guide. The link will be in the notes, in the show notes. But even just for now, asking questions about where did they get their training from? How long did they apprentice before they were facilitating? You know, where's the medicine from? What's the process of the medicine? If it's non-clinical and it's from the street, has the substance been tested? There's a terrible, unfortunate outbreak of finding fentanyl in powdered substances, and fentanyl at doses that are even small can be fatal. So just please, please, please make sure everything is tested. Also, if your facilitators, check if they have training in trauma, or do they advertise that they work with trauma? If you're in a ceremony group, how many facilitators or guardians are per participant? And how will you be supported in the preparation and the integration post the experience? All of this helps empower you to be tuning into your embodied consent. Does this facilitator feel right for me, for us? You know, as a couple, you both want to feel held. You both want to feel safe. And does this facilitator match the intention that the two of you have decided that you want to work on? Okay, the third point I want to get into. What is the best format for us to do this work? Is it a private ketamine-assisted therapy? Is it group therapy? Is it retreats? Is it ceremony circles? Is it a ketamine clinic? And each of these are all very different. So what I do is private ketamine-assisted therapy. And that, again, is with individuals or couples. I also will be leading retreats for couples and then for women, femme only. And those will be popping out here pretty soon. So make sure that you get on my wait list as I announce that in the next couple of weeks or month. So let's talk about the difference between these two, between these all. So a ketamine clinic is a clinic where you can go and get ketamine infusions. Usually it's intravenous, which is a really high amount of ketamine coursing through your body. And it has its benefits, especially around things like depression. The challenge that I have with the clinics is that set and setting, first of all, I don't know. I'm not going to generalize, but many of them are more hospital-like. That may not be as relaxing for somebody to be able to fully surrender. I'm sure that there's ketamine clinics that are very relaxing in ambiance. The other challenge is that I have experienced many people coming to me to do ketamine therapy after having gone to a ketamine clinic, and they went for several sessions, as in like 8 or 10. And so this is my challenge, is that there's a lot more efficacy of ketamine sessions doing well, having lasting change with when it's paired with therapy itself. And there's just, ketamine is expensive, whether it's going to a clinic or working with a therapist. And so what I am most advocating for is what's going to be effective for the client. And so while they may look at the price tags of a ketamine clinic versus a therapist, and they might see that the therapist is more expensive, it also has a quicker resolution that happens because you are doing actual therapy in that process and not just the ketamine. Even more than that, there's also group therapy that's coming out. I will be running retreats for couples and for women, femme only, around with ketamine. So there is this other model that is more price effective. I also am really such a advocate for group therapy and retreat models. I've been leading retreats for 8 years, and there's just something so magic around being in a group of people, sharing your experiences and recognizing that everybody has wisdom. Everyone has these insights and awarenesses that come from their own journey that may unlock somebody else's healing. I also believe in the power of community in and of itself, and just being able to hold space and feel like you belong and be listened to by a group and held and supported and celebrated by a group is healing for all of us, as many of us have wounds around not belonging or not fitting in or being bullied. So if you want to be on the waiting list for this, whether it's a couples ketamine retreat or a women femme only retreat, be sure to click on the link in my bio. I'd love to tell you when that open enrollment opens. Okay, so the final consideration that I have for you as individuals or couples who are looking to do this work is around trauma or family trauma that may still be impacting one of you or both of you or all of you, whoever's in the relationship, because it may also be a good idea for that individual who has that trauma to do an individual series of sessions in order to get at what we call the legacy burden, or the burdens and the beliefs that were carried over from past generations and impacting us today. I've had so many clients come in, and when we're working with them, they realize that the criticism that they would get from their father came from his father, came from his father, came from his father, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've also seen several times the pattern of sexual trauma showing up across generations of family members. So whether it was my client and their mother or their aunt
and then their mother behind that, or in this, that, or the other, you know, for as far back as it may go. But these can impact our ability to be intimate with another person, or our ability to receive love, or our ability to be in our own body, or to self-regulate, or, you know, so many of our patterns. So sometimes it's beneficial to do this work as a couple, and sometimes it's beneficial to do this on our own, especially if we have significant trauma, and especially in our early years. Our partner may or may not actually be healthy to have as a part of us doing this very vulnerable work with psychedelics or with ketamine. Sometimes when we experience severe trauma, we might enter into relationships that are not healthy or maybe abusive. And there can be a fantasy around how the relationship is safe, or how safe it actually is. So we may see parts of the relationship as good, but maybe we aren't as present to, or maybe we're dissociating, or maybe we are minimizing the times that it's bad. And so we're associating that this relationship is a good one or a healthy one, but there may be conflict, or there may be triggers that are most associated with our past trauma itself. I can certainly admit that I've been in relationships like that in my early 20s, where I wrote out that this was a good relationship, and I told people that this was a good relationship, but I was dissociating. I was not present for the times that it really was manipulative. It really was emotionally abusive. And it wasn't until I had a therapist call me out on it and help me to tease that apart that I actually got to be really real with myself. And so getting really real about whether we are in a healthy relationship, and if this person is appropriate to have in the process of healing while we're in the state of or in the space of psychedelics. Sometimes we transfer our trauma onto the other person, whether it's, you know, we make them into the perpetrator, or we make them into our rescuer, the person who can save us, or we violate them, or they violate us, or there's just an escalating conflict that happens. And sometimes this can be really subtle, or it can be really serious and loud, and it can cause new trauma to form in our body. But because we have this deep desire to be in a healthy, safe relationship, we might be projecting onto him that it is when it's not. And that's just not a safe space to be introducing vulnerability here. And I'm wanting to be sure that I'm not generalizing this to everyone with trauma either. This is just a process of discernment that you're going to have to get real, real. And you may need a therapist before you start the ketamine work to determine whether that is something and whether that is the case, or to do your own individual work in the ketamine space to help to find that clarity as well. I'm just saying this is an important consideration when you're talking about couples work. What can also happen too is you go into ketamine or you go into MDMA therapy, and you may experience love for this person and compassion for this person, and you may get back into that good cycle, quote unquote, but it serves as more of a mask rather than a revelation, you know, a band-aid for the cycle that's going to swing back around. I feel so strongly for this work. I love it so much. What I have seen happen in front of my eyes has been incredible. And I emphasize again and again that I don't think that psychedelics are for everyone. I hope that this conversation with me has shined some light on the stigma around ketamine and expanded it more than just a party drug, but really helped you to see how it can be a key for intimacy, both if you're an individual or if you're in a couple, and to help you to expand this definition of what therapy is. But it really can be this whole expansive experience of ceremony, celebration, sensuality. Like, it doesn't have to just be this ingrained image of therapy as clinical and sterile and you know, not creative. So if you're interested in working with me or signing up for one of my upcoming retreats, then click on the links below and I would love to talk to you more. And in the meantime, you can check out my website, sexloveyoga.com, to read up more about how the packages for ketamine and retreats work. This episode is primarily about how this is beneficial from the therapeutic standpoint. However, if you want to know more about the neuroscience of this, of course, you can check out my episode 123, but you can also check out the Huberman Lab. He did an incredible episode called Ketamine, the Benefits and Risks for Depression, PTSD, and Neuroplasticity. That is, he's just fucking phenomenal to be able to go into the science and the research behind all of this. What I will add as a part of that episode is that he doesn't go into the therapeutic element of it. And when we look at the research of ketamine paired with therapy, the efficacy of it increases. So take that with a consideration. And this coming fall, I will be speaking at more conferences about sex and psychedelics and the intersection of those two. I'm super stoked about this. So if you are in my email list to receive my newsletter each week, or follow me on Instagram at sexloveyoga, I would absolutely love to meet you at any one of these live locations. Well, that was fun. Thanks for tuning in, lovers. And if you want to experience more ecstasy and sexual liberation, head over to sexlovepsychedelics.com and learn about how you can join me for any one of my online or live events. And while you're there, grab my free guide on sex and psychedelics. Remember, this podcast is for entertainment and educational purposes only. Please contact your healthcare provider and local law before pursuing any of the products or psychedelics discussed. And one final note here. I make this show specifically for you. If you're loving the show, then be sure to leave me a review in iTunes or Spotify to let me know. Happy to be here and happy to serve. I'll see you next time on Sex, Love, Psychedelics.